That is music of Charles Dupart, a not very well-known Baroque French composer. That's sweet indeed, just brought to life by performer Corinna Marti playing recorder along with an early music group featuring harpsichord, viola da gamba, and theorbo. Starting off this hour in music on Classical WMUK 89.9 FM and streaming at WMUK.org. In the last 6 months of shutdown and performances canceled, it is such a relief to be talking about performances that are happening and live theater at that. As I mentioned before the music, we're going to be talking this hour about Sunday in the Park with George, produced by the Western Michigan University Department of Theater. And on the line, I have director and music theater performance professor Jay Burkow and four members of the cast. Jay, thank you so much for joining me today. I know you all must be so busy putting the final touches on this show. Thank you.
Good morning, Kara. Thank you so much for having us. This is the first, I've been on your show so many times, this is the first time we've attempted kind of a remote phone interview, so, and we've already had a little phone challenge, so hopefully we'll be able to stay on the call throughout the entire interview. Looking forward.
Yes, Jay, my apologies for my pandemic brain putting the wrong date with the day of the week. That usually happens toward the end of the semester, but it's starting already. So here we go. I'm so glad it worked out today. Well, maybe we should talk about the end of last spring, because we had already previewed Sunday in the Park with George, Jay, and this is a lifetime bucket list musical for you. And you were so excited about not only producing it but and directing it, but having given students double chances to perform these iconic roles. You had double cast the show.
Yes, it was. The show was canceled about maybe a week and a half before we were to open. The show was more or less ready.
Mm-hmm.
It was always my Sunday in the Park with George is literally my favorite musical. I find it very moving. The story of a young artist who is struggling to find his voice and to find an audience that understands and journeys with him through his artistic expression, while also trying to find some kind of connection and completion in his life because his world of art and his personal life don't really coincide and together. And so it's kind of the artist's ultimate struggle. And it's, of course, written by Stephen Sondheim, and it's some of his most challenging and beautiful music. And it came at a time in his career where he was broken, more or less. He wrote a show, very autobiographical show, that failed on Broadway and received very bad reviews, not Sunday in the Park with George. And he said, I'm done. I don't want to write musicals anymore. The audience don't understand what I'm trying to say. They don't like my music. I'm done. I'm going to write mystery novels. At that time, James Lapine, who's an author, a playwright, said, no, let's write this one more musical. And they wrote a musical that was about an artist's challenge. And rather than about a composer, they chose George Seurat, the pointillist impressionist painter from late 19th century France, who also died young and never sold a work in his lifetime. And I find this story very moving and very universal, and the music is difficult and complicated, which I like. And the characters are so, and not just the principal roles of George and Dot, but all the characters from the painting are brought to life, and you really get a sense of this whole world of Parisian life at this time. And then the second act takes place 100 years later as George's great-great-grandson, also an artist, is trying to find his voice as an artist, and also is very lost, both personally and artistically. And I... during the pandemic, I could not think of something kind of more poignant while working with young artists like my students who are in the show, who are also looking at their lives, looking at their futures, particularly three of the leads are seniors, looking at what the future of their artistic industry is going to be and finding a chance to have their voice. And seeing them on stage, even if the stage is outside and really just basically the patio in front of Richmond Arts Center, there's something magnificent and beautiful about these young artists really reaching across the world of the pandemic and the world of a very uncertain future to tell the story of George Surratt and Dot and deliver it to an audience. And the challenges that we've had to meet to make the show happen safely, and we've never rehearsed indoors. We've literally rehearsed outdoors. We had to cancel once because of a thunderstorm. And and there have been a lot of challenges to make the show happen. We had to kind of design our own version of a mask that would allow some visual of the faces while still being very, very secure and safe. And we staged the entire show so that all the actors always remain 6 feet apart. There's very little choreography in the show, so that wasn't particularly a challenge. But working outside has been a big challenge for the actors. And I'm very, very excited. Three of the leads, the reason we double cast the show, I'll kind of get all this out in the front, and then we can talk to the actors.
Please
three
do.
Three of the leads were actually cast last spring in these roles. And then Allie Taylor, who's playing Dot in this version of the show, was in the show in the spring. She was playing Celeste, one of the shop girls in the painting. And Emma Wyman, who was cast as one of the Dots last spring, has graduated, and Allie has been cast now as Dot, opposite Marcus Jackson. And the reason I wanted to double cast the show is because these roles are such rich roles, and I wanted to give more students the opportunity to work on them. But for an audience point of view, I've been working on this show for 20 years, and I've never directed it. And because I use it often in class as an exercise in character development, I feel that there are many interpretations for these roles that are valid, that are exciting, and I didn't want to direct the show with just one interpretation. So when we rehearsed the show, Marcus, Aaron, Allie, and Miranda all really bring their own point of view to these characters. So if you see the show twice with the two different pairs playing the lead, you're going to see very different interpretations of the role and really a different show. And I think that's very, very exciting too.
If you're like me and a lot of Kalamazooans, I am used to very casually looking at a list of things happening and then maybe showing up for them the night of. You know, I feel the luxury until now of entertaining myself on the fly without much planning. That's not the case for these productions. You absolutely do need to take a few steps in order to enjoy Sunday in the Park with George. Jay, can you talk about what those steps are?
I can. We are doing the show outside. We're going to be on the kind of on the patio right in front of the Richmond Center, facing the plaza, the Fountain Plaza in front of Miller Auditorium. It's a very open space. It's actually very beautiful. And what Audience Services has done is they divided up the what we call pod. And so when you purchase a ticket, and the best way to purchase a ticket is through the WMU theater website. Go to the box office on wmish.theater.com, and you can purchase a ticket. And you and whoever, up to four people, can sit in a pod if you are bringing a group from home that you are, you know, living with, and your pod is, you know, separate from the rest of the audience. You have to wear a mask in the plaza. You can't take your masks off. You have to wear a mask during the entire performance. We are very limited. The most audience we can have is 100 people, and they are very spread out, so there's safety. I would suggest bringing a folding lawn chair or something comfortable to sit on, because it is You know, it's a concrete plaza, and sitting on the ground for 2 hours may be a little uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So bring a lawn chair. It can get quite cool in the evening, so I'd also suggest that they dress warmly, bring a blanket, and don't feel like, oh my God, it's outdoors, we can bring a snack. No, because you can't take your mask off. So unless you do like IV food, I would just not bring anything to eat. But you definitely want to get your tickets in advance. The show starts at 7 p.m. on Thursday through Saturday, and it's 2 p.m. on Sunday, and we run from this Friday through Sunday, October 4th.
So just to touch on some points again, listeners, to attend Sunday in the Park with George, you need to visit the Department of Theater website where you can purchase tickets. You'll be sent an electronic ticket, and then you can show it on the night you choose to attend. And seating, bring your own seating and dress with lots of layers because the temperatures will be falling. It's fall here in Michigan. That's some of the things you need to do. And we can tell you, Jay and I, that all of this is spelled out very clearly on the theater website, wmich.edu/theater. And you'll find all of that information there. Is it worth it? I think so. It's so exciting to have performers out on stage again.
The first rehearsal for the show, first of all, in my job, I spend most, I'm very lucky to have this position. Most of my life, I spend listening to some of the most brilliant young performers singing on a daily basis. And I realized that when we had our first rehearsal, which was on August 23rd, I hadn't heard a live singer in months. And it was, I literally just started crying when I heard the music of the show happening. And we first went on stage, and I realized the really brilliant support from the Department of Theater, the lighting design by Jen Rock, all the sound reinforcement, the costumes by Catherine Wagner. It's a really beautiful production. And yes, the actors are all wearing masks, but you can see their faces, and you can enjoy a production. And for many, probably for most of the audiences here in Kalamazoo, this will be the first live musical they've been able to see since March.
It has been 6 months of uncertainty and sadness and so much loss. And I'd like to start with the two men playing the role of George, the artist in two centuries, Marcus Jackson and Aaron Czarnecki. Both of you were set to perform last spring. How happy are you to be able to still keep the role and perform it here in fall under these circumstances?
Personally, I...
And is this Marcus?
I remember the email that I got.
Oh, could you identify? Could you identify yourself, please?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. This is Marcus. I remember the email that I got from Jay in the spring saying that we would not be able to do the production. And I remember thinking then and there that, you know, okay, this is very sad, but I'll probably never do the show again. You know, it was really fun. I had a great time rehearsing it, but I cannot tell you how elated I was, you know, finding out about a month ago that we were going to be able to do this in any capacity. I'm so excited to share this with the audience, but even just in rehearsal, even with, you know, my fellow Georges and Dots and the rest of the cast in rehearsal, it's just been such a magical experience. It has really taught me to really relish in every moment that I have, you know, to do such a wonderful thing.
Marcus, were you feeling anxious and worried and uncertain about the future? And having this to focus on, has that turned that around for you?
Yeah, very much so. I'm a senior. Aaron and Miranda are all seniors, and you know, just the uncertainty of, you know, whatever's going to happen in the spring, whether there will even, you know, be a thriving theater scene to jump out into the world to, but knowing that I have this, knowing that I, you know, can really just let myself go for, you know, 4 or 5 hours a night and just, you know, be.
Aaron, could you tell us your story? Were you in denial, or did you kind of go into a funk over this?
Yeah, so sort of reiterating what Marcus said, just hearing that we weren't going to be able to do it because of the pandemic last spring was definitely a blow, because we all put so much work into it. And we were, like Jay said, so close to opening. So it was really sad. And yeah, we all just kind of sat around in quarantine without anything to do. And all of us, you know, live to perform. We live to do theater, so that was hard. And so having this opportunity to get back out there when so many people are still not able to do theater, it just is such a blessing that we're able to put a live performance on and be around other people who are just as passionate about theater and be able to share this with the community and of other theater lovers.
At this point, I'd like to ask Miranda, the other senior who was set to perform, Miranda Vandenberg, what was your experience?
Hi, yeah. So I have always loved Sondheim music. And through the process in the spring, I personally absolutely fell in love with this story and this show and this character. And I bonded so much to her personally. And having it all of a sudden, like, stripped away within a week. We, like, heard about the pandemic rising in the States, and all of a sudden schools around us were shutting down, and within 2 days, it was like, boom, done. It was absolutely devastating, and it was quite depressive for all of us involved, and quite a funk. I personally couldn't listen to the music for the entire quarantine until I found out that we were getting the opportunity to do it again.
Oh.
And it was so incredibly joyous. I remember listening to it for the first time since the spring and feeling happiness instead of utter sadness and disappointment. And so I am absolutely elated to be able to have this opportunity to share it with peers, with the community, with anyone and everyone that we can, because I know art and theater right now is so incredibly hard to come by.
Allie Taylor, you were right elbow to elbow with the cast last spring as they were preparing these roles, and so I'm wondering if taking on the role of Dot seems like a natural step after, you know, being part of the production for so long.
It was such a special call that I got from Jay. It was over the summer, and, you know, like everyone else in the cast, I've just been so upset and scared and nervous because three productions were canceled, a summer production were canceled, and even most of our fall productions were canceled. So just this whole world of uncertainty going into the theater, I was just very low. I was very concerned. So just having this opportunity to revisit the show and also revisit it from a different perspective.
Somebody dropped some papers or something.
Oh,
Allie, continue your thought. You're on being cast as Dot.
Yeah, it's just been a really special and humbling new way of looking at the show, which I have, been so grateful to have this opportunity to step in and work with these very, very talented performers. Everyone working on the show, it's just been an amazing experience.
Jay talked about the main character, George, who is George in 1899 or something like that, and then again a century later. And I'm wondering, and he's an artist struggling with how to be an artist, and I'm curious about Dot's role. Why is it so important, and what is so gripping about Dot and her interactions with George in this musical? Allie or Miranda, chime in.
Yeah, of course. This is Miranda. I personally think a huge part of Dot's role within this show is showing that driving active need for connection. So a huge theme in the show is the ability to connect through art, through connections with people, through all of these things, and the struggle with how to do that. And I think that very, very much so resonates in a time like this where everyone is having such trouble connecting to each other. I mean, we can't, I remember the first day of rehearsal seeing my George and Zarnicki and rushing up to him to give him a hug and then realizing, oh, 6 feet, and we stopped to 6 feet and gave an air hug. And so I think that is this huge point in the show of, can George connect? She's begging him to connect, and it truly is a testament to how we struggle to connect in society already, and now specifically within the pandemic.
Oh my goodness, Miranda, I should end the interview right here. It's a perfect point you've just made, the struggle to connect and to know, do you really understand another person, and can we get through? Any thoughts on Dot for you, Allie?
I think Miranda said it very well. Another point that's just reiterated constantly, especially throughout the second act of the show, is that art isn't easy and that we're trying to make all of these connections. And I think that's just a very true statement right now, that this has been a bit of a struggle and a learning curve and a challenge. But what we've realized throughout this pandemic is that we need connections. We need other people in our life. And I think that this show is a great way to see that and to learn that and to just experience that.
I'm wondering, Marcus and Aaron, is that tension between your characters' kind of self-drive to create and the tension between that and the need to be human and stay connected, is that something that is one of the interesting things about playing this role?
Yeah, this is Aaron. Definitely it is. It's like that balance of, he's so passionate about his art and creating art, but he has just such a barrier with connecting with other people, and how that gets in the way of him creating art eventually in the end. And that's his main struggle, is not being able to connect, and with Dot being like his muse and the love of his life, and he just can't bring himself to connect to other humans. And it's so hard for him to be aware that he can't do that and just not know how to fix it. He just cares so much about his art that he deems that more important than working on himself, which is his downfall in the end.
Downfall. Mm. Marcus.
Yes, Marcus here. I absolutely agree with that. I also wanted to add, I think that that internal struggle between really what George wants is, you know, success. He wants to be this prolific painter. And I think you can boil that down to, you know, everyone's inner fight between wanting to, you know, oh, I want to go see my friends right now, you know, and develop these relationships or go on this date with this person. But I really, you know, I need to do this in order to, you know, succeed in my career, you know, that inner fight, you know, even if it isn't at the extent that it is with George, you know, everybody has that. Everybody has that, you know, especially in our community nowadays where, you know, money is the driver of all, you know, you have that inner struggle between, you know, finding that home, family, love, you know, that the success in that, and then also success in your career. And I think that's something that a lot of people can tap into.
You know, it seems like with so many musicals, the characters' problems are outside problems presented by the plot. And this is such a genius musical, in part because it's an internal issue. It's a personality issue that Stephen Sondheim worked so hard to put a finger on these conflicts within a person rather than conflicts coming from, you know, an evil stepfather or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that this production is going on. Let's remind listeners, it's opening on September 18th. Was that Jay?
No, that wasn't me. I was just annoyed.
Oh, well, I'll continue summing this up. September 18th through October 4th in the Miller Auditorium Plaza in front of the Richmond Arts Center. Attendees will need to buy tickets in advance. You can find the tickets on the theater, WMU Theater Department website, and you will need to provide your own seating. People can attend in groups of two or three or four, and you'll be separated from others in the audience. Keep your mask on. Bring a mask and then put it on and then keep it on and bring some layers, blankets for the chilly fall nights. I'm hoping that the performers themselves will be working hard enough to stay plenty warm as you perform the musical. Final thoughts. I'm going to go around the circle, and perhaps I could start with the women again. Miranda Vandenberg, what would you like to tell listeners about this run and what it means to you?
I would just say that it is so incredibly liberating, not only as me myself as a performer within this magnificent piece, but just to see the community come together that has created this piece. And I encourage everyone to come experience and join into our community, because it is for everyone. This isn't just for people who like theater. This isn't, like, especially in times like these, everyone needs just a connection. And even if you don't really like musicals, come and sit and see other people's faces. You know, just be your friends together. Just come and enjoy, even though it may be 6 feet apart, enjoy being around people and get so much positive and creative energy again.
What do you have to add, Allie Taylor?
I completely agree with what Miranda said. I also have been, you know, taking this pandemic day by day, and I can't focus more on the future because there are so many uncertainties, but one thing that I have been able to hold tight to throughout this whole process has just been this show and putting my creative energies into the show and being a part of this community. So I think, you know, focusing on the here and now, this is something that we have going on, and I just think it's a wonderful opportunity to be able to share with everybody in this community.
What are your final thoughts, Marcus Johnson? Jackson, forgive me.
That's okay. Pretty much the same thing. Something that I'd like to throw back to what Miranda said, I think that something that I really took for granted and didn't realize was such an important part of my life was the collective heartbeat of an audience. Mm-hmm. And the fact that, you know, when you are part of an audience, you know, I feel like whenever I'm part of an audience, I'm finally part of something. You know, I feel very included and loved by the people around me. And I haven't felt that in so long. And I urge people to just come and feel that, you know, again, come and feel that thing that we've all missed so much.
That's lovely. And Aaron Czarnecki.
Yeah, I would just like to reiterate what we've all said, is that we just feel so grateful to have this opportunity, especially right now with everything going on, to do live theater. And I know we've been talking a lot about what this performance means to all of us in the cast, but essentially this performance is for the audience. And so we want people to come out so we can share that special time with the audience and just kind of forget about what's going on in the world right now and just watch some theater and watch some people do what they love and just spend time with other humans. Well, I hope everyone comes out to see us. We want to see you.
It's so important. And yeah, it's been 6 months. My goodness. Finally, Jay Berkow, tell us what you're thinking right now.
Thank you so much for having us. I don't know if your audience is aware, but Kara herself was supposed to be a part of our production last spring.
I was.
Appointment for you as well. Two things. One that I think is very important. We take the dangers of the coronavirus very, very seriously. And I want your audience and the audience that comes to see the show live to realize that it's been very important to us in the rehearsal process and through performances to do this right, to make sure that at all times the cast, the company, the crew, and the audience are going to be safe. We're going to take every measure necessary to make sure that the environment adheres to all CDC requirements and protocols, and that we can do it this way, that there is a way for us to connect with an audience live and make the cast and the audience feel comfortable and safe and know that we can enjoy something very special together. And the last thing I want to say is, and which has kind of been brought up all by all four of the performers at various points during the interview, is as we're facing the continuation of this pandemic and we're looking at the world and the community, human beings are by their very nature a community. We reach out to each other, and we have been forced by this pandemic to become very isolated, much like George's character. And it is so important for the arts to return. It's so important for live performing arts to return, because that is how we as a human species are able to connect and find transference. It's not only that you're watching a performance and enjoying it, you are actually experiencing the love and the story of George and Dot as told through Sondheim's Sunday in the Park with George, and taking away with you it's revelations about your own personal experience. And that is something that you can only experience through live theater. And I think that that's something that's been missing. And we've all been, even people that aren't necessarily fans of musical theater, are feeling something is missing, is there's a piece of themselves that's not there right now. And that's what the performing arts brings to us as a community of human beings. And we are very, very pleased, and we take our job as ambassadors of humanity very, very seriously, and we can't wait to share this production.
Jay Berkow is professor of music theater performance at Western Michigan University. And we also spoke with two actors cast as George, Marcus Jackson and Aaron Czarnecki, and two cast as Dot, Allie Taylor and Miranda Vandenberg. And as I sit here in this soundproofed little box surrounded by disinfectant wipes and Purell, I send you my warmest, warmest wishes for a wonderful run starting Friday, September 18th. It's been wonderful to talk to you all today.
Thank you, Kara.
Thank you, Kara.
Bye-bye for now.
Come on, you had your moment, now it's George's turn.
It's George's turn,
and
I wasn't talking.
Do you think he's original?
Talking,
yes.
But is it really new?
Well, no.
His own collaborator,
yes.
It's just promotion, but
that
is the state of the art, isn't it?
Well,
art isn't easy.
Even when you've amassed it, fighting for prizes.
No one can be an oracle. Art isn't easy.
Suddenly, you're past it.
All compromises. And then when it's allegorical,
art isn't
art
easy.
Isn't
art
easy.
Isn't easy.
Art isn't easy.
Any way you look at it.
All right, George. As long as it's your night, George. You know what's in the room, George. Another chromaloom, George. It's time to get to work,
George. I want you to meet one of our board members. This